Stories of the Halifax explosion involve a lot of heroes and usually one villain, Francis Mackey, the pilot of the Mont Blanc. Janet Mabey says that version is very far from the truth. Francis Mackey was falsely accused and imprisoned, she will argue tonight, in a talk at the Maritime Museum of the Atlantic. But before that, she will give us a taste of her argument.
Morning, Janet.
Good morning, Don.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Introduce us to Francis Mackey.
Francis Mackey was the pilot who had the misfortune to be assigned to the Mont Blanc, a French beat-up old ship that had been loaded with an awful cocktail of terrible chemicals and explosives in New York and sent to Halifax in order to try to join up with a slow convoy. They'd spent the night out by McNabb's Island. They were too late to get through the submarine gates when they arrived. So he spent the night on board, and then in the morning, having asked for special protection once he discovered the kind of cargo they were carrying, he received none. He was told, just go.
Well, he is not just your average pilot.
He was not an average pilot by any means. He had been 24 years in the service, and his service was spectacular. He had never had any kind of accident or blame attached to him. Not only that, he was the only pilot in the harbor with a master's certificate. Very, very capable.
So he's coming in early in the morning, and he will take the right-hand side of the road, if you will. He's kind of hugging the harbor.
Proper to the rules of the road. He's over on the Dartmouth side and creeping in very gently because he's been warned that even the slightest bump on a dock or a rock could set off an explosion. So needless to say, he was being extremely cautious.
Meanwhile, Emo is leaving.
Meanwhile, Emo, the Belgian relief ship, had been stalled overnight because the coal ship didn't arrive the night before. So they weren't able to go on their scheduled time. Early in the morning, they come thrashing out from behind the hill in Bedford Basin and out through the Narrows.
Having told nobody that they're leaving?
Unfortunately, not having reported to anyone. There was an assumption, I think, that they had, in fact, left the night before, but that didn't happen.
Did they have a pilot on board?
They had a pilot on board, and that was William Hayes, who was a longtime friend of Francis Mackey's. They had been in the service together for over 20 years and knew each other's signals very well.
So theoretically, the Emo should be going up the Halifax side of the harbor.
Theoretically.
But is not.
Is not. A variety of things interfered, supposedly. The presence of a tramp steamer coming in on the Halifax side. The possibility that the Stella Maris, a tug towing a couple of scows, got in the way. The other theory that's just come up to light recently, my friend Joel Zemel has just written a book called Scapegoat, and he theorizes that the Emo actually was out of control. It was a huge ship in ballast, and once it got going fast in order to start out of the basin, may not have been able to steer over to the Halifax side. And it's possible that the signals they were giving that were so confusing, insisting that they wanted to stay on the Dartmouth side, might have meant, we can't do anything else. You do something.
So at the critical moment, what happens?
At the critical moment when it appeared that a head-on collision was inevitable, the Mont Blanc was then stopped, but still had some way on. And the captain and the pilot simultaneously agreed that the only hope was for them to cross in front of the Emo and head out into
turn to the left.
Toward Halifax Harbor and get out into the center, which would mean they would pass starboard to starboard, which of course is against the rules of the road. But it's not illegal in a case of an emergency to avoid a collision.
So if they attempt to do this, what does the Emo do at the same time?
The Emo at the very same time, alas, went full astern, and what that did was swing her bow around so that it made direct contact with the forward hull of the Mont Blanc, and it penetrated the skin of the vessel. The real problem, though, was that since the Emo was going in reverse, it was pulling back, and the rasping of metal against metal, of course, created sparks, which very quickly lit up the inside of the hold of the Mont Blanc.
So the captain and Mackey and the other people on the Mont Blanc know what's the almost inevitable outcome, right?
They know the cargo.
Do they communicate this, to the best of your knowledge, to the Emo?
There was no hope of doing that. The Emo was pulling away. there was, you know, people didn't have the type of communication potential that they have now.
So they get in a boat and they go to the Dartmouth side.
The theory that they've worked on was that when a boat is hopelessly lost, whether it's on the rocks or whatever, the captain's duty is to save his crew.
Yeah. Everybody got off.
He ordered his crew to the lifeboats. He was the last to leave and, in fact, wasn't going to until Mackie persuaded him to get down there. And they started rowing madly toward the Dartmouth shore. And they did try to warn other vessels in the vicinity at the time. But you can imagine that the noise and confusion in the harbor was extreme. Things were already blowing up on that ship, and it was drifting over toward Pier 6.
At what point is Mackie arrested?
Mackie was arrested immediately after the Wreck Commission inquiry that was held a week after the explosion. And in the meantime, he had gone back to piloting ships because there was a huge need in the harbor. And the pilot commission had not been given any instructions saying that he shouldn't be allowed to do so. He went voluntarily to the inquiry process and was grilled most unmercifully.
This is a long story, and you'll tell the whole story tonight, but he's tried subsequently. After the inquiry, he's tried?
He was not tried. There was a preliminary hearing following the inquiry that was the Wreck Commissioner's inquiry.
He was in jail before the trial took place?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He was imprisoned.
For how long?
To wait. 6 weeks. And what freed him in the end was not the trial, because they didn't go to trial. Judge Benjamin Russell decided, after very careful consideration, that there was no evidence that would support a charge of criminal negligence or manslaughter. And he released Mackie from prison.
With his reputation in tatters.
With his reputation in tatters. And worse than that, he discovered that the license that he had voluntarily turned in to the Pilotage Commission was not going to be returned to him.
So he didn't get his job back.
The Minister of Marine, C.C. Ballantyne, had determined that he should not have his license restored and not return to piloting.
Did he ever get back to it?
He did, but it took 4 years of struggle, and he'd used up all his life savings on lawyer's fees, plus trying to feed his family, which by then was a wife and 6 children, with no work, except what he could pick up occasionally doing some coastal trips. He fought it out through many layers of government obfuscation, but did not get his license returned until the government changed at the end of 1921, and he then proceeded to work as a pilot until 1937.
There's still family here.
There's still family here, and that's been a big concern. I was very fortunate to be able to meet quite a few of them, to gather up information from them that had never been seen before, because they had little suitcases and brown envelopes full of clippings and letters that had never come to light.
It's a fascinating story. It's one of those stories you think you know all you need to know about the explosion, and then there's more, isn't it?
There's always more.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you.
Janet Mabee's talk, The Persecution of Pilot Mackie, Untold Stories, will take place tonight at 7:30 at the Maritime Museum of the Atlantic.